Hi there, Pony fans. Tekka Remedy from Equestria Daily reporting in. I hope you all are having an excellent day today. Fee is also here with me. Hi there, Fee.
Hi.
How are you today, ma'am?
I'm excellent.
Excellent. That's fantastic. We're both excellent. Well, actually, we have a third pony here today, a very special guest with us, Jason Thiessen, Supervising Director of Friendship is Magic and showrunner for Season 2 and Beyond. Jason, thanks so very much for agreeing to chat with Equestria Daily today.
Hi, well, thank you. It's very much a pleasure to be here.
Oh, absolutely. And you're welcome. Now, Jason, I understand that you're here today to give us some information about the upcoming second season, which, I would remind you, Pony fans, debuts on September 17th on the Hub. Let's kick this off with a pretty basic core question. What convinced Hasbro to renew Friendship is Magic for a second season?
Of course. Well, I mean, I gotta say the question back to you, why not? I mean, it's a pretty good show, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but, you know, a major property for the company. So, they actually approved the season two before we were done season one. So they knew they had something good on their hands, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is pretty fantastic to hear.
It didn't take much convincing is what I would say.
That's good, actually. That's very promising.
Just out of curiosity, do you know if, to put this as bluntly as possible, if we'll call it the Brony phenomenon, did that have any impact on that? Or?
I don't think they really knew about the Brony phenomenon at that point or saw it coming. I mean, they just knew that they had a network on their hands and they had to, you know, they had a great property and a great show that Lauren had invented. So, I mean, everything was just set for doing another season. I mean, I think they would have been silly not to.
And I would agree.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. But it's good that they saw that.
Yeah, they saw it early on, which is rare because usually a season will be done and aired before a network will renew it because they want to know what the numbers are. But they took, I guess, a bit of a risk on their behalf, but I'm glad they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we, as fans, did not get to hear that about the renewal until pretty much the end. I'm a little curious, have things changed as far as the day-to-day workings and keeping things under wraps now that there are so many ponies who are actually looking for information?
Well, yeah, they do want to, you know, keep things from getting out there that they're not prepared to put out there. So, and I know bronies pry.
Yeah. So we are curious.
It's what we're good at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to hold back things that you know and that you know everyone or every pony would really love to know. So it's you know, there's things I'd like to say that I know you guys would love, but I'm not going to say because that would be a spoiler.
Right, the nature of spoilers. Well, that's awesome to hear, though, that there are things you want to say that we will love, because I'm quite certain that we will love them even beyond expectations.
Well, I hope I'm not being presumptuous.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not even a close. And here's definitely something that I've noticed has become increasingly active between season one and season two, the propagation of the show. I'm talking specifically marketing and social networking. And first, let's talk a bit about the marketing. I mean, now we have the Equestria Girls music video. We have that Bridal Maids billboard. There's a pony for that. Yeah, it's all really neat stuff. It's really, really cool. And a lot of it seems to be capturing more of the audience, not just the target audience, but everybody that's watching the show. And it looks to reflect sort of an increased confidence from the top down, from Hasbro, from all of them toward this. I mean, how is that evolved after season one to season two?
Well, definitely they have noticed the bronies, that's for sure. I mean, all those videos on YouTube of like the movie trailers and the music videos and such. I mean, mm-hmm. we forward those to each other, you know, and when, every time we have like a call with Hasbro, either they will tell us or we will tell them about some other thing we found on the internet about the show, and we send it around, and then, you know, they were surprised by the response. I don't think they knew that it would respond this way. I mean, not any of us did. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of seeing this new demographic they weren't expecting, and they're trying to assess what to do with it, you know. So they're kind of might be doing more. I don't know. They don't really tell me that much, but
right.
I think they're definitely liking it.
That's good.
They definitely are still, you know, marketing to little girls and mm-hmm. and such, because that's where the show lies. And right. You know, it is based on a toy line, and you know, I think little girls are a bigger demographic than bronies, perhaps at this point. But who knows about the future?
It could go either way in the future. Yeah. I mean, it is exploding.
Yeah, every day I see something new. I'm just like, wow, you know. And that season two hasn't even—it's only one season that's been on the air.
Yeah, just six episodes.
Yeah, I mean, Hasbro would be silly not to tap into that somehow and try to ride the wave and perpetuate it even, you know.
Sure.
And I do hope that they do a brony line of toys, even like I would love to see that, you know. I think they just need to know what the numbers are.
Okay, so right, just numbers. Well, yeah, I'd definitely be all over that. I mean, all my money, right there.
Yeah, that is the meme, I believe.
Yeah, and it's the truth as well. It's mimetic because it's honest.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. I mean, I feel honored. I really do, to be a part of this. It's amazing.
That's excellent. I'm glad you feel that way. Excellent. And yeah, and like I'm seeing this marketing, they're doing really well for just having discovered us, because they really seem to be tapping into and connecting with us the way that they should. They're really doing it very well. I mean, not just professionally, but they're catching people's attention with it. Like, wow, look at this. This is amazing. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad they are. I mean, that's kind of rare. You know, it doesn't always happen.
No, it's a definite blessing.
And feel very appreciated.
Oh yeah, we are definitely appreciated.
I'm glad.
And so are you guys. I mean, it's mutual. Everyone's feeling appreciated here.
Mutual appreciation.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Friendship is mutual. And
is
also,
that a meme? Is that that will be a meme after
it, it
today.
Will be now once this goes live. Another thing that we've been seeing, everybody's been seeing, every pony has been seeing as well. Even the people that aren't ponies yet, that will become ponies, have noticed the.
Oh, we'll convert them. Don't worry.
Oh, absolutely. Every pony. The resistance is futile. You're on Twitter. Daniel's on Facebook. Lauren and Sibzy and so many others. Rocco, they're on DeviantArt. These outlets that are emerging, I mean, that's pretty much why they're emerging now, right? To react to this. And what else could you see emerging?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't even see the bronies coming. So as to what's next as far as social network, I mean, just look at the like Equestria Daily itself.
Sure.
I mean, that alone... I mean, what a forum, right? Like, here I am, right?
You are. Yes, you're here.
On the phone with you guys.
Yeah, welcome.
I think you guys in the fan base is doing better than I've ever heard of in the industry. You guys are next. That's what I think.
Wow.
I'm really impressed by how much of a response that there has been on this show. I don't think anybody ever saw it coming, and I don't think there's ever been a precedent for this before. So I would say you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's quite an honor. I mean, sure, you get a lot of shows get numbers, but the level of enthusiasm here and from the response and just the outpouring of thanks and creativity, it really is unparalleled and unprecedented. Yeah, you're right.
And it's so positive, so much. I mean, like...
Overwhelmingly, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of... get the warm and fuzzies
And that's good.
I would have to say, you know, like the fans have really kind of embraced the message of the show, and not taken it cynically, you know, and that's another thing that's sort of unprecedented.
True. Especially online, it's melted our pony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Online, I mean, if there's any place to be cynical, it'd be online.
Sure.
And the fact that you guys and the fan base are so, you know, for the most part, what I could see, really genuine. Maybe I'm not as deep into it as others.
It's genuine.
No, yeah. It's definitely under the surface is still lurking the heart of very squishy, happy ponies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, I was blown away by just the creation of PonyChan and how that came from 4chan and all that. Like, I followed all that. I was there watching, lurking.
that's good. I'm sure they'll all be glad to hear it. It's going to blow their socks off.
Even day one. Because, like, as a director of the show, when the show's about to air, you get kind of, like, excited and nervous. Like, what are people going to say? Is anybody going to say anything? I mean,
right.
The worst thing would be if nobody said a thing. So, of course, I was online looking around to see if there was any response online. And I started hearing about 4chan, and I had never been there before, so I went to check it out. And then I just sort of followed along with a lot of the comments and just wanted to see what people are saying, good or bad, you know, like it's all good.
Sure, but
I can take it.
Sure, but it must be extremely encouraging that it's so positive. Yeah.
Yeah. I was riding the wave for sure.
Well, the wave's going to keep going.
I hope so.
It will. I mean, because we are approaching the event that pretty much every single pony has been waiting for since season one ended, and that's the launch of season two. That's this Saturday.
I'd have to say I'm confident, but I'm also really nervous. I mean, people have so much anticipation for the show. It's like I hope we can not disappoint. I mean, people have their own ideas of what should be and all this stuff. I mean, I have to say, take it and know that we did our best.
Your best is excellent.
Yeah. I'm totally confident in the show in every way. It's just, you know, how people can anticipate something and then when it isn't what they were thinking, it can sometimes disappoint. So I just hope people understand that.
I think we will pretty well. You think
I think we're definitely going to understand. I mean, everything that we've seen has just been blowing us away day in, day out, every time anything comes to us and filters through the sources.
Yeah.
We all cry with glee and start babbling about how amazing this or that or the other thing is going to be. And while you've got the opportunity, maybe you get a chance to talk things up and build up a little more hype. Can you mention, have you had to bring any new talent in to get the season to go? New animators, new voice actors, any sort of crew members in general?
We brought in a new storyboard supervisor. Actually, we didn't have a storyboard supervisor in season one, but it was me and Woody in there the whole time.
Oh, geez.
And it was a lot of work.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And because, you know, they did, you know, it's no surprise or no secret, they greenlit season two while season one was still going. We needed some help. So we brought in this guy, Jim Miller, who has been supervising all of season two storyboards. And he's amazing. He's a really great storyteller and a leader. And I'm really happy he's on board. I've known him since I started in animation, too. So he's like,
excellent.
Yeah, that's very encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, he was my first choice for sure. And I'm glad that, you know, he was available. He was on season one as well as a board artist.
Okay.
He helped out in doing revisions and things like that towards the end of season one. And he was a big part of it. So he was the perfect choice. And he was there. And he was great. And he liked to do it.
Awesome. That's pretty fantastic. Yeah. Just branching off of that just a bit, I mean, was that, you said it was your choice. who, I mean, obviously they actually choose, but do you have significant input in saying this is, these are the people I've known that I know can do an excellent job. If we need them, can we bring them in? Something like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's part of the job of supervising director, you know, mm-hmm. like people do listen when you say something, and sometimes it can be unnerving, but
yeah,
you got to say the right thing. But it was everybody's choice too. I mean, you, even like Lauren didn't know who he was, but you know, she gave her blessing as well on him, because he met her, and they got along well too. So everyone was happy.
That's quite good. Happy endings are the best endings. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, as far mm-hmm. as other things, yeah, we kind of. We didn't really bring in much new voice talent because we're keeping with the same cast. I mean, we brought in episodic people,
right,
and such. So there are new voices in the show mm-hmm. as we needed them.
Sure. Excellent. Well, thanks for all that. It sounds pretty fantastic. And like I said, encouraging, definitely. But also, speaking of new things, new horizons, if you will, correct me if I'm wrong, I could be mistaken, but DHX took over all production of the Pound Puppies reboot between seasons 1 and seasons 2 of Friendship is Magic. Is that correct?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Well, then I'm sure that brought an additional workload on many people. How has that most impacted the production of Friendship is Magic? I mean, for example, which departments have had to take on the largest chunk of the new burden?
No, it hasn't really affected us at all. I mean, My Little Pony has their own floor at DHX. We're all alone up there on the fifth floor. And Pound Puppies has the fourth floor. And there was plenty of people to go around. And we were able to keep everybody on. And, you know, sometimes we pass people back and forth as some people, you know, because animators are on contract and they're not on as long as I am.
Right.
You know, they'll be 6 months or 8 months or whatever. And then there'll be a gap between seasons or something. And then they can go on to another show and help out that crew, and then when they're ready to come back on Pony, we bring them back on Pony. It, you know, we're all a big happy family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I guess that means you don't have any like bitter rivalries.
No.
Any friendly competition at least? Do you rub it in that you're on the top floor?
No, I mean just amongst the individuals, but it's a big dog and pony show there. Haha.
Oh, there we go. Excellent episode.
Title reference. Drops. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, now we're really getting somewhere, man. Okay, so really, yeah. There's an additional workload, but you guys have enough people to go around that.
Yeah, the studio's always been able to handle multiple productions. I mean, we're used to it. We've done it ever since we started Flash production, and even before that, when we were a classical studio. It's, you know, it's part of the. It's a big enough studio that can handle more than one show. Sometimes three or four. It's happened before. It gets challenging at a certain point, but you know, we meet it.
Yeah. All mm-hmm. right. So the main juggling comes from the DHX as a whole, not particularly the Pony team.
Oh yeah. No, we keep things, you know, just fine on our show.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
we haven't really had any negative impact. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Okay. But something you probably do have to juggle is, if I'm wrong, but the large portion of season 2's animation was outsourced to Top Draw. Is that correct?
Right, yeah.
How does that sort of thing impact, like, the production from your end?
It's actually great. It's been a benefit in a lot of ways, because we're able to focus more on pre-production, and you know, anyone who's been an animator in the past has kind of moved up to doing layout, and we we really like to think of it in on ponies as a move upwards to going into layout, and which is like preparation for animation. So our animation artists are doing a lot of all the key poses. They're working out all the background composition and doing color balancing and a lot of preparation and direction. They're each like a little mini animation director because they give information to the overseas studio, and they're able to take that and give us back what we're looking for.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's really sticky.
Yeah, they've really, I have to say, I'm impressed by them because they put in the extra effort for sure. They are, we have no more revisions on their work as we do on our in-house, our own crew.
Wow.
We're really happy to have them on board.
That sounds like a wonderful relationship.
Yeah, they've been kind of a partner studio for us for a long time. So we've gotten to know each other really well, and you know, we've taught them and they've taught us, and it's been a great collaboration. And I think that it's really gotten a lot better on ponies. Like, things have just kind of gelled a lot. And I think possibly because they like the show too, I assume.
Yeah.
They must, because sometimes I see some animation coming in, I'm like, wow, that's pretty good.
That's awesome.
I've seen stuff that they've put in the show that we weren't exactly asking for, but it's been, you know, made the show better.
Yeah.
So I always love to see that. You know, I love it when people put themselves into the show and go that extra mile.
Yeah, it sounds like every pony involved is doing it, whether you expect them to or not. It's just all sorts of positivity.
Yeah, you know, that's the great thing about this show. I mean, every aspect of this show has really been a plus. I mean, with the scripts and the storyboards and the designs and the layout. I mean, I can't think of a department that's really not doing better than expected, you know. And I think it's because everyone sees that this is and feels that this is a great show, and they really love working on it. I mean, we have bronies on staff.
that's the best thing to have on staff, bronies. Yeah, you want bronies on staff.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous and call them out or anything. So.
Okay. No.
Well, of course.
It's all right. We won't name names. Just this person, that person, and the other person. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Hi there, bronies on staff. Thanks, guys.
We love you.
Yeah, we definitely love you.
Hopefully they identify themselves as that, or I'll be hearing about it.
Okay. Well, then we'll wish you the best in preserving your... Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, definitely thanks for everything so far. This has been fantastic. It's insightful. It's revealing. It sounds like the atmosphere there is just overwhelmingly positive, encouraging, spiffy.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Every significantly positive adjective in the book can be applied to this show.
You want me to get the thesaurus out?
If you don't mind, sure. Let's just go through them all one at a time. Although I kind of think you can sync pony with all of them now. Pony is just the ubiquitous positive adjective now.
There you go.
Yeah, sure. We'll take it. Mm-hmm. Well, tell you what then. We've talked about processes, teams, production, and we're all talking about between season one and season two here, or just the show in general. But why not just let's talk about a bit about season two itself, as much as you can without giving specifics. But
sure.
Just general season two, good stuff.
All right.
The readers are leaning forward now. They're captivated. Okay. First of all, the first episode. Was it a postponed season one episode? And if so, why was it postponed?
No, it was always part of season two.
Okay.
We were producing season one and two back to back. So it wasn't, nothing was postponed. We just knew that the premiere episodes were so epic that we wanted to make sure we had an extra time to do them.
Oh, okay.
We wanted to keep our staff on board as well. You know, because sometimes between seasons, people they're finished their contract and there's time in between and they end up at another studio or on another job. So we wanted to keep people around as long as possible. So it was like a good way to keep as many people as possible on staff so that we could bridge the gap between the two seasons.
Okay, so not only were you working on the pilot and the two-part intro to season one, but you had that epic storyline scripted and working for season two. So you were really not just juggling 26 episodes, you were juggling 28 or more. More or less, as it went.
Correct.
I mean, for all we know, you could be juggling every single episode for every season ever, all at once.
Yeah. Well, they're all swimming around in my head somewhere.
Yeah, that's good. Keep track of them.
Don't lose them, please.
Yeah.
Well, you have to. I mean, as a director, I mean, you're involved at every stage. So I'm reading scripts while I'm looking at storyboards, while I'm looking at animation, while I'm looking at music and voice records. It's just – and all for different episodes. So I come into a meeting and I'm like, what episode is this? Oh, 19. Okay, what was that one about? Yeah, okay, sure. Got it. You know, and I have to like switch to that in my brain.
You must be doing an admirable job of it because it's all come together swimmingly so far.
Yeah. Well, it's not always easy, but
sure.
You know, what that's good ever is.
Yes.
And I really got to say, from the screenshots that have been released on the Pony Facebook page, every bit of scenery and every shot has just looked absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous.
On a level that I don't quite remember most episodes having in season one. Although maybe this is just me going through withdrawal, but I mean, it just looks so good.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm glad you think so. And it's not moving either yet. Wait
I know.
See it.
Oh my goodness! It's gonna.
I don't know if I can, my body is ready.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely wanted the. You know, one and two to make a splash for, you know, the big two-parter opening to the new season. And so every aspect of it was somehow enhanced as much as we could.
Sweet.
Yeah, I suppose with all the coterminous work, you haven't really managed to benefit from any major breakthroughs in technology, but...
Right.
You know, have you guys just gotten better at doing what you do?
Yeah, I think mostly it's been a refinement of the process. I mean, we didn't really know what we were in for from in season one, so we approached it as best we could. You know, people were new to the show. We had to develop all the language of the show, like just the film language. There were a lot of people on the show who'd never really worked on anything like this before, and even me, like, you know, I had to figure out what Lauren was looking for and everything. And you know, the first season is always kind of like the figuring it out, getting it you know, developing. It's like the introduction.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then when you get to season two, you got season one to draw upon, and you can look back and go, okay, what worked, what didn't work, how do we make it better, what can we do to make it, you know, give us the most amount of creative license and artistic strength, you know. And so we did that. Like, that was one of the things, was bringing in Jim as our storyboard supervisor. And we did a bit of a junior senior thing. We wanted to cultivate new storyboard talent, and so we had like senior board artists and junior board artists, people who were interested in working on the show. And by now we had a show to show them, like, hey, what do you think of working on this?
Right.
So
yeah, I bet that helps a lot.
Yeah, yeah. We, you know, and by the end of it, you know, we got, you know, some new great board artists that we can use later on, and not use, but you know,
employ.
We can employ, and you know, and people who've wanted to be board artists who haven't quite got the chance yet, and we wanted to really. You know, foster that new talent. And and also, you know, with our layout process, we, you know, kind of beefing that up, because that was, you know, a great aspect of season one. We wanted to do that more and put more into that, so we have, you know, more expressions and, you know, better shots and just higher quality all around as much as we can, just, you know. And I mean, while we're working on season one.
Right, you're working on all this.
Yeah.
And here's season one, too, going on.
Yeah.
Episodes are airing, and look at all this.
Yeah, I mean, my the other director, my co-director, Woody, James Wooten, He's an amazing technical guy, and he's just so good at figuring out the best way to do something and how to do it technically, you know, well.
Yeah.
He was like writing applications and things for Flash and making it, you know, better for the animators and the layout guys to just have more time on their hands to put into the poses and stuff.
Yeah.
And working out the Flash builds, that's a big factor too.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Oh,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Flash builds were the biggest thing. We spent a lot of time, and Woody too. He worked a long time on those pony builds to make them as optimized and as useful for animation as possible with Flash. And I think that it's been a huge benefit to the show. Some of the stuff that I'm seeing, like, it's like as good as classical. I look at it and like, I couldn't tell that's done in Flash, except that I know, and I could, you know, I could see the bits and pieces of how it works, but
sure.
You know, ultimately, you know, it's amazing.
It is amazing. So, yeah, it looks excellent to us. Definitely.
It definitely. Yeah. Well, I hope so. I mean, there's always critics, but you know, you can't please everybody.
No, and if you try to please every pony, sometimes you end up pleasing no pony.
That's right.
That was suited for success. I had to drop that in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. That was definitely Lauren's episode there.
Yeah.
And possibly yours and every other artist known to pony.
We all felt it. We, you know, it was a good episode. It was speaking from experience.
Yeah, that one I think resonated with a lot of ponies across.
It did.
Across the country and well, both countries.
I love episodes like that where, you know, there's something, some aspect of the show or the story that, or the character arc that, you know, everyone can identify with and really, you know, has experienced in some way. And it's just a great way to tell a story and get people involved, you know, they can go, that happened to me, you know.
Sure.
And I love stories where we're drawing upon your own experience. You go like, hey, this happened to me once. I think this would be a great thing for so-and-so to experience on the show. And
you know,
putting yourself into it is always a good thing.
It definitely. And I mean, you have all that major benefit, and then you get 20-something singing a song about sewing a dress together. It's beautiful.
I'm always amazed by that.
Yeah. By now it actually doesn't surprise me anymore.
Yeah.
It's that amazing. It's promising not just for, and this is on a personal note, not just for the show itself, but like you said, these people that are getting chances that have never had them or wouldn't otherwise get them are now getting a chance on this amazing show to work on it. So it's benefiting the show itself and then these people who will go on to hopefully make more awesome shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, having stronger talent is always a benefit to everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, more people for us to hire and we can have people who really care and can do it.
they do it. They definitely do it. Okay. Slightly similar topic. I remember that you told us in your previous interview with Fee that the, let's call it the geography, the mechanics of Equestria, they've been loosey-goosey. They're flexible as you need them to tell the story. Things can shift a bit. But between the two seasons, now that you've established Ponyville and Equestria for 26 episodes, and then, of course, you're going to have 26 more, 52 in total. Mm-hmm. How much more strictly has the creative team defined these standards, the workings of the pony universe? I mean, because some of them are really fascinating. One example that stands out to almost every pony is in season one, Bridal Gossip, you hear that the clouds in the Everfree Forest move all on their own.
Right. Yeah, the Everfree Forest has a mind of its own. No pony mm-hmm. needs to help it.
No, so, like to them, it's normal that you need to do this for the animals and the plants, and you need to set the clouds up for the storm.
Yeah, exactly.
That sets the world building of Equestria and Ponyville and the like very strongly. I mean, but like you said, some of it's loose. Well, how much tighter has it gotten? Has it gotten any tighter?
Well, when it comes to like just the physical locations of things. I mean, we try to be as logical as we can in keeping things consistent, obviously. Uh-huh. But, you know, we have had episodes dealing with the mechanics of Questria in the upcoming season.
Sweet.
To varying degrees, you know, where it's applicable in the story. And if we have an idea for a story that uses it, you know, it's always great. It's a great element to have. I love that aspect of the show because it kind of does add to the wonder of the world, you know.
It does.
There's And it brings something bigger to the picture, you know. There's something they can do. There's something they need to do. And so that gives us ideas.
Yeah, sure. It births creativity all over the place. And, yeah, it adds to that sense. Like when we all first saw Cloudsdale in all its glory and Sonic Rain Boom, it was just overwhelming. The weather factories and the Cloud City and everything, it was mind-blowing. I mean, that adjective is overused, but this time it literally was like, wow, this is magical. This is amazing. Oh.
Well, I think that's one of the things that has stuck out in everybody's mind more than maybe any other one setting piece.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. Cloudsdale is a very beloved part of Equestria.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I'm glad we could tell you.
It's a cool place. I definitely, I love it. It's, you know, it's kind of like the Cloud City in Star Wars. Not, I mean, that was a mechanical, but, you know, it's got that, you know, epic size and scale and it's, you know, very Greek.
Right, Colosseum.
Yeah, and I love that stuff. I was really impressed with it myself, and I really wanted to try and get that feeling of it across. You know, when we first go there and we see Rainbow Dash and Fluttershy flying towards it, and it's kind of revealed in this glorious shot. I wanted that to be that kind of epic feeling of like, holy crap, what is that? Look at what we're looking at. You know, this is where we're going. This place we've never been to before.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that came across.
Cause that's what it definitely came across. Oh yeah.
In this interview, there is Canter- into a geek out session.
Canterlot is a great place as well.
So. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I mean, certainly.
Yeah. When we were watching at the gala song with everything, that was pretty magical too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. I love that song. That was an amazing, amazing piece.
Yes.
My wife storyboarded that song section of that episode.
Nice.
Yeah. So I had it playing in the house for a long time. Every
time. And didn't get sick of it?
No. It's been in my brain for a long time.
Okay, then just quick random tangent. I know that you guys can't take from fan stuff, but like there's at the gala. You listen to some of the remixes, some of that fan content?
Here and there, you know, if I see it. I don't get everything, I don't think.
Oh, no. It's almost impossible to at this point.
Yeah. I don't think we get everything.
Yeah.
And it's our job.
Yeah. I love the 8-bit remixes. I'm an 8-bit fan. So everything.
There you go.
Everything chiptune, I'm into.
Did you hear that, Rainbow Crash 88? Jason Thiessen loves your 8-bit remixes, dude. So keep it up, dude. I'm all the way over there.
Yeah, give me more.
Yeah, here. See, there. Give me more. Straight from Jason himself. Get on it, Boney. If at all possible, if you can get any sort of chiptune into the soundtrack of the show, I mean, get on that.
Well, I don't know if it would fit in the old world setting of My Little Pony.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not.
Just put in a beep or a boop and a dash song. There you go. Just a little shout out.
I did try to get some of that into Puka when I was working on that show.
Okay.
There was a couple of scenes here and there. I actually made some sounds on my Game Boy and brought it into the composer and I gave it to him like, put this in the soundtrack.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
It is.
Okay, so shifting a little bit, like, you know, we've discussed obviously how all of like the various improvements you've been made, and we've talked about world building as part of storytelling. Mm-hmm. One thing that we have also noticed just going over, again, just pouring over screenshots, because that's what we have to do these days, mm-hmm. that like in the stained glass windows in that one that one shot. I think it was the first one to go up.
With the blue light reflecting on them?
Yeah. That appears to, like, if you pay attention to the images in the, in all the panels and the panes of glass, it looks like there's a whole lot of foreshadowing going on, or hints at various things that came before and might come. You know, this sort of foreshadowing, a strict following of dramatic structure in a more traditional narrative type sense is the kind of thoughts that we've been trending towards. Is that kind of stuff being employed by the writing staff in season two, or like as opposed to the more self-contained slice of lifey type stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we delve into the history of Equestria now and then, and we try to, you know, make that all congeal into, you know, it's one world, it's one kind of, I wouldn't say continuous, but it does feel kind of continuous. Mm-hmm. And we like to create some an arc of some sort. I mean, those stained glass windows do depict a story. Trying to choose my words wisely.
Understand?
Yeah.
It all will be revealed in the episode.
It shall.
Don't worry.
Surprise! They're there for a moon again.
Yeah, they are part of the literal the literary device. I mean, you'll see. I don't want to ruin things for people.
I'm sorry for giving you such a difficult question.
Yeah. No, that's not difficult. I could probably tell you some stuff, but. You know, some people probably want to keep it a surprise.
Right.
I think it's pretty cool. I think what we did was a really cool way of depicting the ancient history of Equestria. We've done that a few times on the season. So you'll see some great backstory for the world.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very promising to hear. One other thing that stood out to me, at one time in particular, was how a lot of shows you'll have a perfectly neat, happy ending without a real sensible resolution to the conflict. Just fluffy. And Friendship is Magic does have a lot of happy endings, but the characters have to endure trials and realistic conflicts to get there. Except in the case of Swarm in the Century. That ending was tragicomedic because Ponyville was obliterated. I mean, it was fine in Winter Wrap-Up because it's a slice-of-life episodic show, but, I mean, it's just, no, we saved Ponyville, and no, you didn't.
Yeah.
It's toast. Do we have the potential to see more of these less-than-fluffy resolutions to the episodes? Hearing victories, things like that.
Right. We do bring... You know, the cast to the brink of their destruction on several occasions.
Oh my!
It's very, very emotional in a lot of times. But you know, we do. It is intended for children, and you know, we
of
like
course.
To keep mm-hmm. keep it a happy ending where it at all possible.
Sure.
It's part of the format, of course, and mm-hmm. and you know, you want to end on a positive note. That's
sure.
classic storytelling. You know, we. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to create any like avant-garde pony shows here.
Oh, there we go.
That's for you guys.
Okay, Friendship is avant-garde. We'll jump on that.
Although Fluttershy does enjoy haute couture, which maybe has nothing to do with avant-garde. I don't know.
Haute couture is pretty. Bizarre. So,
are we talking Dada art now?
Yeah. Well, Salvador Dali does not make an appearance.
Okay.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, that's so. Concrete information. We'll keep that.
Okay, ponies, if you're listening, note it down. Melting clocks confirmed for not being in Ponyville.
Yeah.
That changes the image macro, doesn't it?
A little, yeah, it does.
With Pinky standing in the painting. Sorry, Pinky. No Dali.
There may be an episode in there that I don't know, but yeah, like I do love to emotionally, you know, hit them hard throughout the episode.
Just don't break them. Yeah.
No. Well, you know, sometimes you gotta hit your rock bottom before you can learn the lesson.
True. Yeah.
It's just great, you know. It's part of, I think, doing a cartoon. You got to go to the extremes. or else
yeah, sure.
animate it.
Push the pony envelope.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, without hitting any specific spoilers in particular, you got a few episode endings that are just going to drop our jaws straight to the floor?
Let me think. There, well, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know what people are going to think, but yeah, there's some great endings. I think there's some we try to make them unexpected where we can. So there's stuff in the works. Let's just say
that
could potentially make a splash.
Sweet. So I mean, you're not just chucking pebbles. This is a boulder, and the ripples are huge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to say too much, but not that. See, now I'm just digging a hole.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, like we go places that, you know, perhaps other candy-colored TV shows won't go, and that's part of what I love about this show is that we're allowed to explore those areas. You know, right. They're not saying. I mean, they do. Make sure that, you know, we don't go too far, but mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I'm like, is this gonna be too scary? I think we gotta just try it, you know, like right. I think that kids love to be scared, and as long as you got a good resolution to it and no one really gets, you know, seriously hurt or anything like that, I mean, you gotta mm-hmm. explore those avenues. I think that's just part of great entertainment and great storytelling.
It is, yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid, loving. There were shows and movies that I was really scared watching, and mm-hmm. But I loved those films. You know, I would work hard to make myself watch them because I enjoyed it so much. But I liked being scared. You know, I think kids like that. It's an experience. You know,
definitely. So like I'm giddily clapping my hooves in anticipation of seeing all this stuff come to fruition. You're certainly, you may be digging yourself in a hole, but you're also doing a wonderful job of building excitement for us.
Oh yeah. Good. Oh yeah. I mean, it's all over the place.
Well, it's only 5 days left.
Yeah, oh, we can make it. We're going to make it.
Oh yeah.
This may go up. I guess it'll be up as soon as you can.
Yes, as soon as we can.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I mean, if you're available, we'll just talk to you until the episode goes up. That'll pass the time.
Well, I am needed on set.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely go to set.
Of course.
Yes.
We film it live, you know, just.
Oh, of course.
Live in front of a studio audience. That's good. A
quick emergency question. Will there be a laugh track?
Yes, every scene has a laugh track.
Wonderful.
And my dream come true.
That's the one thing I thought season one was missing.
And we even put an applause sign in the shot so that you know when, as a viewer.
I think every pony will appreciate that.
Right. So then
interactivity.
So whenever we see all the ponies stomping their hooves, that you can tell the applause sign is off screen.
Oh, that's definitely join in, you know, stomp your feet.
Yeah.
Stomp your hooves. Sorry, your hooves.
Will do.
Who has feet anymore?
Not I.
What are feet?
I forget. Okay, so kind of keeping the topics a little bit silly. You may have noticed if you look at some of the fan art that the background ponies are a very, very, very big draw for the brony crowd.
Yes.
We love them to pieces, especially Lyra.
Especially Lyra.
Yeah.
Lyra is best pony.
And why is that? What did we do? What did we do right with her?
She always seems to be in those like goofy little scenes, you know, like she's sitting on a bench in a humanized position, right, or she's hopping up and down in the background with a kind of maniacal grin on her face, or or when the Paris Sprite eats her, I think it's a pie. She makes that like completely crushed, depressed face. Like her emotions are just bouncing all over the place. It's always her specifically, and then on top of that, she happens to have a gorgeous design.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, that's great to know. I mean, I think that's part of the great thing about our crew is that everybody on staff tends to put something in there. And I mean, those kind of things are put in by somebody on staff, a layout artist or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think it's usually a layout artist. These are things that aren't often boarded. You know, they're just somebody who's like, I wanna add something. This is a little something fun we can put in, and you know, it adds to the depth of the world and the characters.
Definitely.
You know, creative freedom, creative independence.
I love ideas. I love that, and like Hasbro's been really great about that too. And I have to applaud them so much. I mean, they've given us so much creative freedom on this show, and that doesn't happen very often. So I'm very happy to be working with them, and I hope to work with them a lot more in the future, with, you know, because they just have that kind of great attitude about, you know, letting us be creative, and look what comes out of it. You know, this kind of fan base, just they eat it up. People love this stuff, you know.
We definitely do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with all of your new storyboards and layout artists and whatnot, and you with Top Draw giving you all this extra time to do the prep work, are we going to get to see any new models being snuck into the background with any kind of different varying identifying details? I mean, I don't know if you get to pay attention to all this stuff, but I'm just curious, like, do you guys play around with pony makers?
Well, I mean, we do have a lot of crowd shots. We have to fill the screen with a lot of ponies. So we don't always have quite enough to go around. Sometimes they need to be duplicated, and that's been noticed. Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to notice that, but you have. but, you know, that's part of the... Maybe it's part of the charm, but I mean, everything, you know, Hasbro does. They like to keep things under control. They don't want things to go out crazy and off the rails. So we try to stick with what's approved and stuff. But every once in a while, yeah, a pony will show up that isn't exactly scripted or always, you know, expected. And I think you'll find some things here and there if you look hard enough.
And we certainly
and some things might just jump right out at you.
Ooh.
Oh, there we go. Ponies jumping out. Yeah. Make that happen.
Well, 3D we haven't cracked yet.
Oh, no. I'm just actually jumping out of the screen to us. There we go.
Yes.
into our living rooms.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Certainly some encouraging, interesting word choice there. I'm going to be thinking about that all night. So, kind of shifting from... the background, like the completely nameless, voiceless ponies, to like the one-shot characters, like Zecora, Trixie, and the like.
Episodics.
Yeah. Do you, kind of feels like a silly question, but do you have any plans for more of those types of things? Are we going to see the return of old favorites, or without naming names?
Yeah, you'll see the return of ponies, and there's plenty of new ones. Some non-ponies, you know, creatures. Ooh. Monsters and non-monsters, you know, like you know, it's just like season one. We're gonna have lots of fun with world and you know, the various types of animals and creatures that live in Equestria. I mean, just think about it, and, you know, there's so many different animals that we can be using. I mean, they don't all have to be ponies.
This is very true.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you'll definitely see some. I sometimes when I'm watching the show and we're doing a rough cut or something, I'm looking at it and like, that's going to become a brony meme. I just know it. So we'll see if my assumptions are correct.
I'm sure they will be.
Yes.
Kind of satisfying a bit of my own personal curiosity. In regards to all those things and the world around, has there ever been any, like, the idea kicked around, at least in the studio, of doing an episode that kind of focuses on Equestria or Ponyville in general, ignoring the main cast? Like, you know, like how The Simpsons once did the 22 short films about Springfield, kind of, where you just do a bunch of minor stories and world building sort of thing. Has you ever, like, talked about that, or?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have episodes that they definitely involve some of the minor characters that you know from season one, okay. You know, because it's like a chance to expand on the characters that you've seen before. They haven't had a chance to have an episode. You know, we will focus on one of those people. You know, we do mostly follow the main cast because, you know, there's still lots to tell with them. I mean, there's a lot to explore. But, yeah, there's a good portion of season two that does have some, you know, background character. Or I don't want to say background characters, but, like, the minor characters are are coming out more.
Okay. That's
because we have more stories to tell and we can explore that area. Oh, how about this guy? Like, what if we should do something with him, you know, or her or whatever.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's so exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting, really.
I'm shaking.
Hooray.
But of course the main characters themselves are the heart of the show.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it all surrounds them. I mean, so even when it is about a minor character, we still involve the main cast. It's it wouldn't be the same show so much.
Yeah, no, it really wouldn't. Those
absolutely right.
Those ponies and I guess also dragon are kind of the dragon. Core of it. Nothing quite works without them filtering it.
Yeah, and that's that was kind of part of the, you know, we don't want to change the show. It's a great show and there's nothing wrong with it. So why fix what ain't broke, right?
Yeah, that's.
So we didn't want to ruin anything.
Sound logic, yeah.
I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of wonderful stories exploring them as well. We get to look forward to the main cast developing as characters at all. How much room is there in an episodic style show for permanent character growth? Do you think?
I think there's definitely room, I like that when that happens. Mm-hmm. But it's just about finding the right time to do it, and not, you know, kind of do it too soon or you know, like you want to develop them over time,
right?
You know, where we'll. I mean, there's only season two. I mean. There's got to be room for more, right? Like, you know, this My Little Pony is not a small, brand. You know, there's lots to do. So, you know, I hope that they just keep going, and that'll give us room to move on, you know, into new and exciting territories.
Absolutely. Yeah, the longer the better, the more you can do with every pony.
Yeah. I mean, they do develop. They learn things in each episode. I mean, but, you know, part of the comedy, too, is, you know, they may learn something at one moment and then, you know, they're right back to where they started. I mean, who doesn't know people like that? Like, oh,
yeah,
I get it. Oh, yeah, sure, I'll change. Nope.
And then,
nope.
Yeah. So, you know, it's still a comedy too. You know?
Okay. So as in ponies, as in life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, art imitates life.
It's yeah.
Just wait till the day till life imitates pony.
That's become a real thing. I mean, you're saying every pony already.
Yeah, that's I can't stop.
Oh, I don't know where. What are hands? I just hooves. We've always had hooves, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. I trust that.
I've seen images of these amazing costumes that somebody made of the ponies. They look really on model. I was really impressed by that. I was like, wow, how much work went into that? Like, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. The fan community has produced really just not just the quantity of fan output, but the
quality.
Persistently high quality of it. It's consistent in pretty much every aspect.
Yeah, I know.
In every medium as well. It's
Sure.
Yeah. I'm always impressed often, I have to say.
So, you have attracted a gathering of incredibly talented fans.
Yeah.
Probably more talented than me in a lot of cases.
Okay, hire them.
I wouldn't put it past. I mean, I've known people who started out as fans of a show and ended up working on the show, so it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good.
You know.
Yeah, actually, that's great. And yeah, like you were saying, every aspect of the show is great, but it has to revolve around the main six and Spike, because they deserve our unbridled adoration. Now, we're gonna wrap this up soon, Jason. But sure. Before we do that, we would just like to give you the opportunity to rave, because I'm pretty certain there are moments that you're looking forward to the most by far, but you can't say specific spoilers. Mm-hmm. What can you say about the high points of season two as you see them? These yes moments that you're like, I just can't wait to unleash this on people.
Well, there's some, I'd have to say there's some great villains coming up.
Ooh.
You know, the villains aren't always, you know, evil creatures. They can be just any pony. You know, the story, some of the stories that we've come up with, you know, the writers have written and the board artists have interpreted into, you know, it just, they're epic. Some of them, like, I have to say, it's good. There's going to be some great moments. You know, I was just going over an episode today. I think it's the season two finale.
My goodness.
Yeah, we're far ahead. I mean, it was this early stage. It's early stage, but
sure.
I was just like, oh man, this is so cool. So there's great stuff coming down the pipe.
Oh, Lyra.
and funny too. You know, there's humor is abound on the show. So I mean, every aspect of it is just, you're gonna love it, I think. And Daniel and the music, the songs, the score. So far, like we haven't scored too many episodes yet. Mm-hmm. But what we've got is just pretty cool. Oh, yeah. Will has done an amazing job. I mean, you'll see on episode one and two, because we did those a little earlier. He definitely brought his A game on those. His score is, I think, it's just going to be very mind-blowing. We try to make it as theatrical as we can, because it's, I mean, I don't want to overhype it. I'm overhyping it now. So
I don't think you can overhype this.
I don't know if that's possible.
No.
That's it. I don't want to go too much farther. You know, I will run the risk of overhyping things. And
no.
I'm proud of it. I'm proud of season two. I'm proud of the whole show. I mean,
that's fantastic.
We're glad you're proud of it.
Yes, absolutely.
It's probably, I've said it before, out of all my entire career, you know, I'd have to say I'm the most proud of this show, and this is probably the best show I've ever worked on all aspects, you know. So I'm just happy to be a part of it.
We are happy you're a part of it too. We're happy every single person that's working on it is a part of it.
I'm just happy to be noticed. Like, it's so many times you work on something and you put so much work and time and sweat into something, and then, you know, if people don't notice it, it's, you know, it's a little disappointing. You know,
absolutely.
See your work, right? And when we see a fan base like and the bronies picking out things that you go, oh man, I put that in there, and all the animators are saying that, like, that was my idea, you know, and people are pointing that out. It's like, this is a great moment. And it's like, wow, it's just a great honor. You know, I really enjoy that, you know, and I think everybody on the show enjoys that, because they all see it, and they, you know, when an animator puts a little extra something in there, and that becomes like an animated GIF on someone's profile or highlighted in a video, like they're proud of it. And they love to see that stuff, because, you know, animators care. You know, they love what they do, and they love to be appreciated.
Yeah.
But we're behind the scenes people. You know, we're not actors on TV. We're the actors behind the actors.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We act with our minds and our pencils, digital.
That's why it's so brilliant.
We can really tell how much love and attention that everything gets. And we can see, just glancing even, how much you care about these things. And I think that's really part of what shines through and what makes it so popular.
Thanks.
The the attention is kind of returned. You encourage us to pay attention by adding all these little things for us to watch for.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it goes both ways. I mean, I see you guys making these videos and doing all this stuff, and it makes my job so much more more fun and more worthwhile, you know,
to
put in the extra effort. It's like, hey, it's appreciated. I want to put, you know, I want to make this the best I can make it, you know, because I know somebody out there is going to actually care to see it and enjoy it. And that's what working in this industry is all about. I mean, that's the everybody's dream, you know, in getting into animation and, you know, even becoming a director. It's just to get attention for what you're doing. It's like,
sure,
you know, you're the class clown that drawing in the corner. No one looks at your drawing, but if someone comes along and says, it's a great drawing, you know, it feels good.
Sure.
And that's,
yeah,
it's I'm not used to it. I definitely don't know what to think of it. It's not part of my general job description. So it's all very new to me to be getting this kind of attention. So,
well, I have some great news for you. It's not slowing down at all. So you're just going to keep receiving even more adoration and more attention as season two goes on. So be ready for that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even Lauren, you know, like she was really the mastermind behind it all. And, you know, we learned a lot from her, and she started it all, you know, I mean, Hasbro started it all, but
sure.
You know, she was the one who really put herself into the show, and I got to give all my props to her. Because of that, you know, and she was great to work with, and an amazing person. So, it's just I'm honored. I was honored from day one when I saw the show, and I knew she was gonna be on it. I was like, oh man, I'm so happy to be working with someone like her and on a show with this kind of development. Because I thought it was great.
That's awesome. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lauren.
Yes.
We really do love her for masterminding this and spearheading it and making it all come together. Yeah. But at the same time, we don't want to belittle your role, because you oversaw and controlled so many aspects of this and helped make sure that it became, well, that her vision came to light.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
while playing her up, please don't downplay yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not used to it. I'm a humble guy, so I guess I should promote myself, shouldn't I? I'm great. I guess okay. There, I said it.
Okay, good. Well, would you like to do an interview with Equestria Daily someday?
Oh, maybe. Okay. I don't know why.
I hear they kind of like that sort of thing.
Right. Oh, it's so weird for me to say things like that. I've always been kind of like, you know, I don't know. This is all new. I guess I should get used to it.
It's new for every pony. But it's awesome, and we appreciate it nonstop. And I'm glad you guys do too.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. Keep it coming.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just absolute excitement for this coming season. Because like you said, season one, you've got your hooves on the ground. Mm-hmm. You have your bearings, and we're heading Ponyville, Canterlot, and every other great city. Here we come.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fantastic season. No question about it. Well, Jason, it's been just an absolute sincere pleasure to have chatted with you about the second season today.
Oh, thank you. I had a great time.
Well, excellent. No, I'm really, really glad that you have. Yeah, you're welcome. Most definitely. Would you care to say a few words to us before you go off to your magical land of Equestria and get to make ponies?
I said it just before, you know, I love the fan base and how much that everybody's doing. I mean, I'm just blown away by it. It's kind of every animator's dream, you know, to be recognized, for your work, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate it. And, you know, I'm going to be at the BronyCon in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what to expect.
A lot of ponies.
So yeah, it's all new to me. So I love new experiences. So it's gonna be great. I just love being a part of the show, and I'm glad that you guys love the show.
Oh, we do. We definitely do so much. Yeah. We do, don't we, Fee?
Yes, we do.
Oh yes.
There's I think we've made it clear. There's really no understating it, is there?
Yeah.
No, it's impossible by this point.
Great. Well, I hope I didn't sound too much like Simpleton on here.
You've been brilliant. Thank you so much.
Yeah, all of our gratitude. Seriously. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh yeah. Yes. I mean, thanks so much for agreeing to chat with us in the first place. I mean, that's just phenomenal. Sure. We're talking with the showrunner for season 2, Equestria Daily, a fan site. That sort of thing is also unprecedented. So from the bottom of our hearts, our pony hearts, thank you.
Well, you're all very welcome.
Excellent. You hear that, pony fans? Jason loves you, and we love him.
I love you.
Yeah, we love you too.
He loves you enthusiastically.
Yes, very enthusiastically. As enthusiastic as Lyra, right, Fee?
Yes.
Well, on behalf of every single pony fan, every brony, heck, we'll even do the target demographic here. I wish you the absolute best as you continue to helm My Little Pony in season 2, and we just hope years beyond. So thanks so much, Jason, and take care.
No, thank you, guys, and I really look forward to seeing your new viral videos. I hope you really enjoy season 2 as much as I think you will. It's going to be great.
We will. We definitely will. Well, then I'll just wrap this up. First of all, my most sincere thanks to Fee for being my co-interviewer today. Thank you so much, Fee.
Thank
you, Fee. You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, see, there you go. Thank you for Jason and Tech.
It's been an absolute honor. I'm so glad I got to participate in this.
So am I.
Yeah, okay. Losing composure now.
That's good. That's
just breathe,
good.
Just breathe. Just breathe.
It's the good tears, definitely. Yeah. It is. This has been fantastic. Fabulous. Excellent. Thank you to every single brony and pony fan that's listening to this. It's been our absolute pleasure and honor to bring it to you. I mean, I'm just thrilled. I'm totally satisfied with how this has progressed, how it's going to conclude, and season 2 is going to blow us out of the water all the way straight to the moon for 1,000 years. Oh yeah. On behalf of Equestria Daily, this is Tech Remedy saying so long, ponies, and
so long, every pony.
Yeah. Sorry. There, Jason, go ahead. Send them off.
This is Jason Teason signing off.
And Tech Remedy signing off. Stay awesome, ponies. Tech out.